First Chronicles chapter 4. Since our brother Tuck told us nothing about mothers this morning, I'll tell you about a mother, and not one of you can tell me her name, because it isn't given. Many things are exceptional about this passage, but so much is not known. And I've heard that there is a book going around called The Prayer of Jabez, and this is what I'm reading to you in 1 Chronicles chapter 4 tonight, The Prayer of Jabez, and I've never read the book. I know nothing about it except its popularity. So if, when I get through giving this message, you can remember it, go and read the book and tell me if he has anything in it that I said, or vice versa. So, two verses. In 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Verse 1 tells us these are the sons of Judah. And look in chapter 2, just one moment, 255. And the families of the scribes that dwelt at Jabez. And now, verses 9 and 10. And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, "Because I bear him with sorrow." And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, "Oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, and enlarge my border, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow." And God granted him that which he requested. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord's Day. For Israel, it was the Sabbath. Let us know that for us on the first day of the week, the saints gathered together to break bread. And we've done that this day. And then the Word of God has been preached. We've had fellowship with one another. And now the day is over, and we are together again, a tiny number this night, even less than this Lord's Day morning. But there is no handicap with you, our God, to bless with many or few. So we pray that thou shalt bless us this night. Give us a special blessing for the faithfulness of those who have come out at this time. And teach us about this portion of Scripture. All the prayers and all the requests that have been made known to thee, we would think of them again, our Father. And we would like to see prayers answered as quickly as when your Son prayed a prayer. But our Father, so often this is not your way in our times. But remember those that are sick, and some of them, thou dost know that there is nothing you've put in our hearts to make believe that it will ever be a full recovery. But our God, just like Job said, "Shall we receive good from the hand of God and not receive evil?" And our Father, how many days of health and enjoyment hast thou given us? But our Father, let us know that many have been the days of pain and sickness for some. And so in the sickness, our Father, show them that you are a God of sickness as well as a God of health and strength. And be a blessing to them in a way that they are unaware of, our God, but that you can be. And help us in this assembly, our Father, our God, we thank you that Christ is honored, exalted. He is preeminent. That is what you've told us about him. And that is how we acknowledge the person of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ, the preeminent one. And so, our God, we pray that he shall be seen in his preeminence and your will and all the things contained in your word. So grant that this place shall continue to be a testimony for thy Son, and that there shall be many who shall hear of his glories. And so, our Father, for all that you've done for us this day, we thank you, and we confess our sins. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I've wondered, when I read passages such as these, if there was something that I lack in being able to comprehend just exactly what the subject is, what the context is, what the connection is. But as I looked to get help because of this simple question, it's talking about an honorable man named Jabez. It talks about his brethren. Now, one of you tell me anything about any of Jabez's brethren. Tell me who Jabez's father was, who his mother was, who his children were. And if you can, well, you know something more than anybody else that I know about, including myself, knows, because all we know for certain is that Jabez was of the tribe of Judah, of the sons of Judah. But he is mentioned among some illustrious names. You've heard of Joshua and Caleb before, so he is of that same tribe, and also the tribe of Caleb, and you've heard of Hur before. Aaron and Hur were the ones who lifted up the hands and supported the hands of Moses when Israel was fighting against their enemies. And Hur was one from whom was descended the one who was chief in building the tabernacle that God told Moses to build. So, there are many illustrious names surrounding this man, and the tribe of Judah, why, this is the tribe from which Messiah came. But if you say, well, tell me who his father was, I could tell you who Joshua's father was, Joshua, the son of Nun. I could tell you who David's father was, Jesse, and you can go on and on. Saul, the king, the son of Kish. But when you come to find out who Jabez's father was, you're not able to tell him. And here is a woman that I would like to honor as a mother in Israel, but God does not give us her name. And so what we have to do is this, to say that God has placed in his word some who are unnamed, but who are worthy of notice, who had an influence over the life of her son, and God wants it remembered. So this little portion is about the prayer of Jabez. One connection, and it may be true, it may not be true, that is what is so sad. I told you in chapter 2, there was a town by the name of Jabez. But again, if I ask you, where is that town? You don't know, and I don't know, and nobody knows where it is. But at one time, there was a town by the name of Jabez, as well as a man by the name of Jabez, and we know hardly anything about him. Genealogically, we know nothing about him as to his age, how long he lived. There's so many things that are missing. And yet, it's unnecessary. because we learn ever so much about His character. And that's the thing that's important. Sometimes we can name names, kings of Israel, and I say, tell me about this king's character. Well, I can't tell you about that. We know nothing about that. But here, we do not know who Jabez's father, his mother, was. We simply know that he's of the tribe of Judah. And we know this about him. He was more honorable than his brethren. What does that mean? That means that if you have brothers and sisters in Christ, some of them are more honorable than you are, and some of them are less honorable than you are. And some of them accomplish more than you do, and some of them fail to accomplish anything in life. And so it speaks about Jabez's brethren, whether it means simply those of Judah or whether his own brethren after the flesh, but in comparing him to his brethren, it says that he was more honorable than his brethren. And you look at it and you ask why. If you read about David's chief warriors, it mentions about some of them being more honorable than the others, and it will tell you precisely why. He was able to use a spear. He was able to protect a plot of land that had food that would save Israel from going hungry. It mentions their being honorable, and it tells you just why they were honorable. But if I ask you, what deed was accomplished by Jabez that made him more honorable than his brethren? And we would have to answer, I do not know. But if Jabez was named after him, then evidently he was a man of such importance that names are given to cities of those that are of prominence, of those that have position, and those that have reputations. And so it may be that this town is named after him, but again, just as I ask, who is his father, who is his mother, and you don't know for sure, and who are his immediate ancestors, you do not know for sure, so we are not certain about that. But at least the name of that city is the name of Jabez, and this is what we know, and for some reason he was more honorable than his brethren. And I know that God worked in his life, and God did great things in his life, because after Jabez finished praying, it says, and God answered the prayer of Jabez. God granted Jabez that which he requested. And so if you want to know what was the greatness of Jabez, and how was he more honorable than his brethren, I would say this. In changing the circumstances that could have destroyed his life by laying hold of God in prayer. Is that a remarkable thing? Do you think that you're born into the world and that everything is going to happen the way that it should happen, the way that you would like for it to happen, that good is going to come your way and evil is going to avoid coming your way unless you do something about it? You'll find out unless you do nothing about it, evil will come your way and good will not be realized in your life. You have to do something about it. There are those who have this philosophy of life, what is to be, will be, and they add, if it never be. But they think, if I'm going to do good, I will do good, and if I'm going to do evil, I will do evil. And if evil is going to come into my life, there's nothing that I can do to prevent it. And they go on that way. But this prayer of Jabez shows that that's wrong. And God gives him this title. He is more honorable than his brethren. And I take it that this honor and the honorable title that is given to him is because he saw what life lay before him. And he laid hold on God and changed what his life would have been had nothing intervened. But he laid hold on God and by his prayer changed what his life would have been into a life that turned out to be a life of honor and a life of being kept from evil. And I want you to understand that about your life when you are young and when you are old. You'll find this. I've told you before about God withheld David and Abimelech from Edom. And it says that Jonathan came and strengthened David in the Lord. But then it says also that David strengthened himself in the Lord. And here, any blessing that comes into the life of Jabez does not come from his mother, but it comes from Jabez alone. Now that's a sad thing. I could wish that my mother had prayed for me as a child that I would be saved, that I would be kept from evil, that I would be remembered as one who left some good in the world for my fellow man. But to my knowledge, my mother never prayed that about me. But whatever someone may have prayed for me, I could tell you, if we were studying genealogies, about those that were religiously inclined in my ancestry, and I have no doubt that just as you have prayed and others have prayed for those children that shall be born, those that are yet unborn, to pray that God would bless them. It may be that one of my great-great-grandfathers had prayed for me and something that happened. But we are not told anything about any prayer that was offered in behalf of Jabez other than the prayer that he offered for himself. For this reason, if you ask about Jabez's mother, instead of praying a prayer for him, she placed a cloud of gloom and despair around him when he was born. In the Bible, so often, a mother or a father gives a name to a child because of a circumstance at his birth. And in this case, the word Jabez means sorrow, sadness, pain, grief. So think of that. Here is a child that is born, and because his birth is associated with sorrow and sadness, you place that name upon him. And all through life he has to go along, and somebody sees him coming down the street and they say, "Here comes sadness. Here comes grief. Here comes sorrow walking down the street." How could a mother do such a thing? But this mother did it, and the name stuck. Jabez, sorrow, because I bore him with sorrow. But there was another mother, and we know her name, and her name was Rachel. And she was going to give her son a name so similar to this one that it was just a variation of it. When Rachel had prayed to God for children, God in his goodness gave her Joseph. And then, whatever the cost, she wanted another son. And she prayed to God about that. And so God gave her another son. But it cost her her life. And in the book of Genesis, as they were nearing their destination, she brought forth with hard labor, and she realized she was going to die. And so she said, "Call my son Benoni, son of my sorrow." But Jacob, the father, intervened and said, "No, his name shall be called Benjamin, son of my right hand." And so here is a mother that was going to have a child that was going to bring sorrow and death to her, and she was going to place that name upon her son to be born his whole life long. But the father overruled and gave him the son, the name, the son of my right hand. But here we know nothing about the father of Jabez, but we know about his mother. And his mother had a sorrowful experience in her life, and she said, I'm going to call this baby Jabez because I bear him with sorrow. What good could come out of a mother giving a child such a name? Well, one thing is certain. He would be made to remember that sorrow surrounded his mother when he came into the world, and perhaps instead of expecting and taking for granted that good would come his way, he said, sorrow may come my way as it came my mother's way, and I'm going to do all in my power to avoid that sorrow from coming into my life. So that's one consolation. You see, just as some of us who look at our parents, and some of them, because of the lives that they lived, we are challenged to avoid the same mistakes that they made and to live a different life from our father and our mother. And in this case, here is a mother that has sorrow in her life, and here is a son that is determined by the grace of God that this sorrow is not going to envelop him and overcome him. And so he prays to God. He exerts himself to do all in his power to avoid this sorrow that will naturally come into the life of a man. As Job says, man that is born of woman is a few days and full of trouble. There is sorrow, there is pain. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. And so Jabez was reminded of that every time his name was mentioned, and every time he thought of his mother bringing him forth into the world. So that would be one consolation. But the good thing is this, that some people have sad names, but their lives turn out to be lives of joy and happiness. And some are given names, great names, that are challenges to them, on names such as joy, such as happiness, such as laughter. That's what Isaac's name was. But sometimes their lives do not turn to be a life of laughter, but a life of tears. But another mother, and let me tell you how different mothers give different names. Can anybody tell me one of the children of Leah whom she named, and his name means happiness? His name was Asher. When she had Asher, she said, this is a joyful experience. God has made me glad. God has made me happy. And so she called her son Happiness. And so here is another mother, Jabez's mother, and she says, God has given me a son, and he has brought sorrow into my life. And so I'm naming him Jabez Sorrow. Well, when this happens, some time came in his life, whether it was early in life or later in life, here is a prayer that he offered unto God, and it's such a prayer, and it seems as if it were a prayer, not that he had been praying his whole life long, but one that he prayed like unto the prayer of Jacob, when Jacob was running away from home because he had stolen his brother's birthright, and when he lay down and used a rock as a pillow, he saw this vision. He saw this ladder from earth to heaven, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon it. And he said, why, this is the door of heaven. And when God spoke to him, then he prayed to God. Here was a prayer, not that he'd been praying his whole life long, but it was a prayer that was brought about because of his brother wanting to murder him, and he was leaving home and he did not know the relatives whom he was going to visit. And so God comes into his life, and he offers this prayer. And this prayer was never forgotten by God, uttered by the lips of Jacob. And perhaps such a prayer as this, because it's so full and well-formed, perhaps some sorrow loomed large in his life. And just as Jacob at that specific time prayed that prayer, so Jabez at this time says, I see that the sorrow is going to overcome me. It is going to envelop my life, and my life will be one of sorrow. And so he uttered this prayer unto God. However it was, whether all along he had been wanting to pray or had been praying, all we know is that at some time he uttered this prayer. And the prayer, this is what is so interesting about it, it is a prayer that is almost in the form of a vow. What do I mean? This is what Jacob said. He said, Lord, if you will do this and this and this for me, then I will do this for you, and surely I will give you the tenth, and you will be my God. That is a prayer, but it's a prayer in the form of a vow. And instead of saying, oh, that thou wouldst bless me indeed, the way he does, he could have said, oh God, bless me. He could have put it in a way that wasn't like, I'm going to add something if you do bless me. But it seems as if it's a vow, but what he's going to do for God isn't mentioned at all. And so he simply utters this form of a vow as it appears here, and he doesn't add what he's going to do for God. But what we are told, the important thing is this, God did for him what he besought God to do. Because so often we promise God things that he will answer our prayer, and then God answers our prayers, and then it's like Pharaoh. When Moses was sending those plagues upon Pharaoh, Pharaoh would come and say, yes, I'll do what you request. Now take away this curse that's come upon me. And Moses would beseech God, and God would take away that plague, and then Pharaoh would say, I'm not going to do what I told you to do. And so often, we make vows to God, if God will get us out of this debt, if God will get us out of this difficulty, if he will keep us from going to jail, if he will keep it from being made known that I've committed this sin, oh God, I will do this for you. And God delivers us, and we forget, just like that butler forgot. Joseph interpreted his dream, and Joseph said, now, when this dream that I've interpreted for you comes to pass, I want you to remember me. It says, the butler forgot him. So maybe it's one good thing when you pray to God not to promise him anything, but just say, oh God, I would like to promise you something, but you know how often I fail to do what I should do. I'll try, my God, but just answer this prayer. But Jabez starts it out, it sounds as if it is a prayer like a vow, but there's nothing that he promises God afterward. But this is what I know. I know that he has specific things that he asks for, and he starts out, first of all, with this general request. He prays to the God of Israel, oh, that you would bless me indeed. There is an intensity in the way that it's expressed and translated here. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And no specific blessing is asked for at first. But what he wants is for God to look down upon him, and just as sorrow could be that which enveloped his life, he says, oh God, I want your blessing to envelop my life. And I want it in a way that is beyond an ordinary blessing. I want a blessing, my God, that is more than an ordinary blessing you would bring into the life of man. Oh, that you would bless me indeed. And then he becomes more specific. He mentions various areas of his life. He said, and that you would enlarge my coasts. And the word coast, it's also translated boundaries. And so what it means is if you have a boundary, it includes what is in that boundary, that you would enlarge my territory. So he doesn't want to stay small, but he wants to grow. He wants to increase. And so he asks God about enlarging his coast. And then he understands that if this prayer is going to be answered, it is not going to be answered by God while he does nothing, but it's not going to be answered by his own activity, but it's going to be answered if God's hand is with him and God assists him in the things that he undertakes. Now, most of the time, when we read of the goodness of God, we read that Joseph was cast into prison, but God was with him. That is God in his fullness. But here, he is speaking of the hand of God as the power of God, the working of God, because God himself says, my hand is not shortened that it cannot save. And so when Jabez prays that your hand might be with me, it means that hand with which God created the heavens and the earth, the stars, the heavens, they're the work of your fingers. He says, I want your hand to be with me in my life as your hand has been with your creation. I want you, O God, to do this. And what is remarkable about the hand of God, he's asking that God would keep him. And the word keep is ordinarily translated do. Do something for me. Work for me. As it says in Romans chapter 8, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. And so he's asking that God would do him good, that God's hand might be with him, so that when he attempts something, he wants the strength of God to be behind him, to support him, to assist him, and for him to be successful in whatever his undertaking was. And he does not ask, God, you do it all for me. I'll wait and watch what you do for me. And he does not say to God, I don't want you to help me, but I'll do it, O God. But he says, with your assistance, with your strength, I want you to work with me, and I want you to assist me. And this is what it says at times about the power of God. It speaks about those in the book of Judges, and it says, God clothed himself with this man. What does it mean? It means that the man is doing it, but it's really the power of God. And that is what you and I should do. And that is what I thought about when we're asking God to bless us here in this meeting. How many people have we witnessed to, and how many people have we asked to come to this meeting to be with us? And you say, well, let me see. A strange thing, isn't it? Instead of planting seed, we went out and bought plants that are already growing and planted them. Well, at least they're alive, and we hope that they continue to grow. And if God wants to, he can send those that have already been saved, already those that have grown in grace in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and plant them here. That will be fine. But here is Jabez, and he says, God, I don't want you to do everything for me. I want you to do things with me. Strengthen me. Enable me. So let us take that challenge. And usually what happens is this. You see a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic or one that goes to church, and you say, oh, it would do no good to invite them because they are of this denomination, and what good would it do? There is a way that you could ask them. I would say, we have joyful times. We are small, but we have joyful times. And if you want to hear things preached right from the Word of God and have a variety of those that teach us from the Word, we would be delighted if you would come and join us. But I challenge myself, and I say, oh God, that your hand might be with me, and may God's hand be with you. And if there is lack here because of anything that we have failed to do, then let God with his hand and with us as instruments work, and may souls come. You and I can think of why they would not want to come. Who would want to come to a place so small? You could think of all of those reasons. But who would not want to come where Jesus Christ is preeminent, where we seek to teach the entire Word of God and not just those things that are pleasing to us or those of a certain area of truth? And so think of all the good things we have, and Christians that are seeking to carry out the whole counsel of God, because the Lord Jesus said, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And so think of all the good things we have, and instead of saying, we've got these good things, oh, if they knew, well, let us, with the hand of God upon us, let us seek to tell them. All right. And it says this, that you would enlarge my coasts, that your hand might be with me, and that you would keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. Jabez has grasped something in life that you and I fail to understand again and again. Tell me, any one of you, any evil you have ever brought into your life that has brought joy and gladness and happiness. Tell me one evil that's ever brought permanent joy and gladness and happiness. Well, why are we fools and we go and want to bring evil into our lives? Has not our Savior taught us to pray this, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil? And Jabez knew that. And he said, oh God, I want you to keep me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. And so why should we think that if we bring evil into our life, why, when David brought Bathsheba into his life, that evil, did he think good would come into his life, would come out of it? Why, when the troubler of Israel, stole those Babylonish garments and gold and brought that evil into his life, why did he think that good would come out of it? Think of any evil that has been committed in the Bible, and why would anyone think that good is going to come out of it? Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we shall of the flesh reap corruption. And if we sow to the Spirit, we shall of the Spirit reap eternal life. And thank God for the wisdom of Jabez, because he knows about evil and sorrow, and his mother has given him that name, and he believes that evil will bring sorrow and destruction into his life. And so if you can think of any evil that a man has ever committed that has brought lasting good into his life, then come and tell me about it, and you and I will go into the presence of God and ask him for an apology. But there's never been one. But think of this, just the opposite. It says, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them that are exercised thereby. But read in the book of James about sin. Why, sin, when it is conceived and when it's full grown, bringeth forth death. Listen. Sin brings pleasure, because the Bible says the pleasures of sin for a season. And so, yes, they're pleasures of sin for a season. And then the sorrow comes. Think of how thrilling it would be for David and Bathsheba, Samson and Delilah. Think of the troubler, Achan, in Israel, the troubler. When you had that gold and that garment, I'm rich and I can dress so beautifully that everyone will admire me. Think of the pleasure that it brought to him. But think of the bitterness, and it cost them their lives, and it affected the lives of their children. All of these sins That is what is so sorrowful. And Jabez knows these things. So what he does is say, I'm going to pray unto God, and these are the areas of my prayer. I want you to bless me indeed. And I want you to enlarge my territory, my borders, my coast. I want you to enlarge what I have. And I want your hand to be with me. I'm willing to work, O God, and I want you to work with me and assist me, because I'm unable to do it by myself. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And, O God, I want you to keep me from evil. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil, that it be not to my sorrow. He wanted those specific things, and when he prayed them, it says, and God granted him that which he requested. Isn't that simple? He knew what he wanted. He prayed in truth to his God, and he was willing to work with God to that end. And it ends, and God granted him that which he requested. And what happened afterward? Who were his children? We do not know. Who were his ancestry? We do not know. All we know is that here is a man of the tribe of Judah, and he finds himself with this name and a life that could be one of sorrow like his name, but he's determined by the grace of God to pray unto God this prayer. And he prays this God, to God this prayer, and God answers his prayer. So may you and I pray the prayer of Jabez. Our Father, we thank you for the little nuggets that you place in the Word of God where we would never expect to find them. Who would think, when we were mentioning one name after another, that would come upon such a one as this man and see how you worked in his life, how he faced life and thought through life and was determined to be delivered from it, from the evil, the sorrow, the heartbreak, the failure. And he prayed to you, and he worked with you, and you worked in him, our God, and you answered his prayer. We thank you. Our God, here are we, and we ask that we may have a prayer like this, and will be willing to work for you, and that you might work with us. But our God, we would like for you to enlarge our coasts, not for our glory, but that others may come and enjoy and honor the Lord Jesus Christ by gathering to his name. And so for things similar to those that Jabez asked, we ask, our God. So look upon us and bless us indeed, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.